Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
This is another edition of Baseball Today. That is my man, Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Riz. Producer Dan along for the ride as well. Oh, yeah, still catching that pencil. Still got those skills. Everything good, my friend?
Everything is going well. C. Rosie, I'm excited to talk some ball with you. I got to sit down yesterday, and I said, hey, listen, Liv, I need to watch some baseball this week. I'm getting ready to call my first game for the Twins on Friday in Anaheim. So I just ingested everything. You know what? That feels really nice. So I'm excited. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We had perhaps our strikeout of the year, and that goes our tip of the cap to Jared Jones of the Pittsburgh Pirates, of Bryce Terang of the Brewers. Not feeling great. Whoa, God. Did you ever have anybody do that to you?
Chris Sale could make you feel like that. I don't know if I ever fell down. And, you know, shout out Bryce Terang. He's had a great start to the year.
Yes.
You know, this is a tough one. It's a tough one.
Man, oh, man. Holy smokes.
And then, wait, Jonesy, I mean, are you staring him down a little bit right there? Are you seeing if he's okay? What are you doing there?
Well, they asked him about it. They said, you know, did you laugh a little bit? He goes, I was laughing on the inside. So he knows. He knows. He's
probably done that a few times to other people as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's five starts into his show career, so he's not going to get out there too much to be, you know, put that target.
I don't know. Hey, there's something about that guy. He's pretty confident, man.
I know he is. He's got it going. All right. Right after we finished Monday's show, of course, we had, and we talk, you know, we don't spend a ton of time on the show talking about the umpiring, but we did a little bit yesterday based on what happened in Colorado and San Francisco over the weekend. And then literally like 5 minutes after we end, we had what happened in the Bronx between Aaron Boone and Hunter Wendelstedt.
You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. You got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay.
Oh, okay, Hunter. Well, you know what? We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear.
Aaron,
there you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything. Aaron's saying, hold on a second. I didn't say a word.
Oh, my God.
I wasn't even really, I really didn't even go after Hunter. You know, I was more upset that, you know, on the appeal, and I said, Hunter, you can call it too. And he came back at me pretty hard, to which I didn't respond. I just said, okay, went down, and it's embarrassing. It really is it's embarrassing.
We had a pool reporter talk to Hunter Wendelstedt afterward, who said, quote, apparently what he said was there was a fan right above the dugout. This isn't my first ejection. It's the entirety of my career. I've never ejected a player or a manager for something a fan has said. I understand that's going to be a part of the story or something like that, because that's what Aaron was portraying. I heard something come from the far end of the dugout. It had nothing to do with his area, but he's the manager of the Yankees, so he's the one who had to go. What are you most upset about?
Honestly, I'm not that upset about this whole situation, because it was hilarious. Like, Aaron Boone is turning into like what Ron Gardenhire was with ejections, very flamboyant and just like has had some really fun, entertaining moments. I mean, I think Boone is like close to topping him with the savages in the box. I think it was Laz Diaz when he did his strike three call as well. And then now this, like, it's so entertaining. Okay, I get why people are upset about it, because Hunter Wendelstedt has, you know, zero accountability, even after, like, clearly there's video everywhere on the internet with Aaron Boone just saying nothing. Even after that, he still is saying he's going to have this story in, basically calling Aaron Boone a liar. I've never done that in my career. Why would, it's, come on, man. All you have to do is just say, I messed up. I thought it was Aaron. I didn't know some fan was chirping me, but I thought it was Aaron, so I tossed them. It's my bad. I apologize for that. That's all you got to say. This whole thing, like, again, people want to, you know, get on Major League umpires about, you know, they're so bad, and sometimes they are, and we need more reviews. I'm all in for that. But stuff like this can't exit the game. It's too dang good, Rosie. It's too good.
It was amazing. The best part is Boone. When he gets tossed, he starts looking around and he starts screaming, "It wasn't me." And he's like, "Hey, teacher, it was that guy up there. It was that dude." And how about the dude? He took off his jacket.
Yeah.
In the same
hiding.
Like thinking we weren't going to figure out who it was. Now, where was it? It was a guy in a jacket. It can't be him because he's just wearing a shirt. It cannot be him. I imagine. Dude, what do you think that guy's phone looked like yesterday during the game?
Just, I mean, so good. I think Jimmy and Jake are interviewing Boone today, and someone was like, "Can you please get the guy on with Boone? Like, how fun would that be?" I don't know, man. Like, it's a silly situation. Again, Hunter, like, show some remorse or just show some, you know, anything after the game rather than what you did. But Boone, man, Boone is too good. I even thought it was crazy that Hunter Wendell said, gave him a warning, and he just shut up. That's not typically what Boone would do, but he was feeling it. First inning of the game, all right, a lot of game left here. And then, boom, 5 seconds later, he's gone.
Yeah. By the way, I know that Ryan Rucco said that we don't need a John Boy breakdown. We got one. It was great. It was like 5 minutes. It was excellent because it takes you through all the little things that you may have missed in watching that over. I probably watched it 50 times yesterday. I was so enamored with it. You know what? The league is so hesitant to verbally slap umpires, right? Do you think that they shouldn't they just come out and be like, "Hey, listen, we talked to Hunter. We made our point why he screwed up, and he'll learn from this." And by the way, Hunter, like, what is the most indelible moment of the last 15 years of an umpire is Jim Joyce in tears. The day after he knows that he blew Armando Galarraga's perfect game. Him stepping to the plate when they're exchanging the lineup cards. Galarraga came out. He delivered the lineup card the next day. And Jim Joyce is literally in tears because he knows that he cost a kid history. Well, that is as humanizing a moment as we've ever had by a major league umpire. And for a year, you know, yes, we're all upset that he didn't get the perfect game. But now nobody's like, "Oh, Jim Joyce is an asshole." They're like, "Oh, man, he feels like shit that he blew it."
Agreed. I mean, it's such a simple thing. And as far as the league not coming out and saying stuff, I don't know if that's them wanting us to talk about it and like media in general to keep this up, or they're just,
they're not that smart. Man. You know what it is? They don't want to have conflict with another group. You know, they've got enough conflict with the,
is it even conflict to say, "Hey, Hunter, you messed up, bro. It's clear as day.
I don't know.
Here it is right there."
I don't know what it is. Michelle actually asked yesterday, she goes, "So what's going to happen to that guy?" You know, she's a fringe baseball fan. She said, "Well, what's going to happen to the umpire?" I said, "He'll be back on the field today." Nothing. I mean, I don't think, does he get a demerit? Does he get,
have those? It's all freaking gold stars for every umpire, every game, dude.
Wouldn't you like,
he'll be at third base today, chopping it up. That's it.
Do we know how they get graded? Like on something like that, which is obviously he was so wrong in the way that he handled it. Does that go as like a human resources violation like the rest of us out of the office?
What I understand is they do get graded because, you know, the best thing for an umpire is to get into the playoff series so they can make a little bit extra cash. So they get graded and reviewed that way. There's some seniority stuff with that as well. But as far as something like this, yeah, they're not going to get any sort of demerit. I think they do if they have some really bad games, you know, might bring them down in, you know, the quote unquote rankings for the playoffs. But something like this, I don't think so.
I guess not. It was,
doesn't seem like it.
By the way, stuff like that, like I feel badly for Boone that he was taken away from his job without really deserving it. That sucked. Could it have had an impact on the game? Possibly. I don't know. That stuff all stinks. The rest of it is great. Like it is kind of embarrassing what Hunter Wendelstedt did. He's been an umpire for a long time. Daddy was an umpire the whole bit. But you're right. It was entertainment.
It's awesome, dude.
That was great.
And Mason Miller's fastball is the only thing you need to see from yesterday's game. That's it.
I mean, to go Soto and Judge 102-103.
Smell ya.
Holy shit. All right. Four stud starting pitching performances from Monday. Ranger Suarez, Tarik Skubal, Dylan Cease, Bryce Elder all got it done. Which one most stood out to you?
I'm going to go with Skubal against the Rays. I'm hoping you're talking about Ranger because what he's done for the last, you know, three starts or four starts has been incredible. But when I watched the outing, it just seemed so dominant. You know, he's a big boy. He's kind of herky jerky, and he just, the ability to throw that fastball, the four seamer, kind of, you know, up in the zone, making guys feel uncomfortable, then working a sinker off of that and the changeup. I think that's the thing I like the most about him is the slider and the curveball this year have been his last two pitches. It's really been the four seam fastball, the changeup off that. He throws a sinker and the four seam kind of the same speed. So like, it's all same tunnel, same arm speed, and then you got to decide. And look at these swings he's eliciting. When I see guys, like I believe that was Ramirez swinging at that pitch up and away, that little tailing fastball. When you see guys taking swings like that and swinging and missing at fastballs in the zone a lot, you know, like there's something going on there. So like it's he hides the ball well. It's herky jerky. It's a little funky, and he just got electric stuff. And that was a dominating performance by him. And yeah, it was a big reason why a lot of people picked the Tigers to win the AL Central was a guy like Schuble, and he's been absolutely nasty. So I'm going to go with that. A lot of great pitching performances last night, like you said, though.
Yeah, I picked them to not only win the division, I picked Schuble to win the American League Cy Young, and he is off to an amazing, amazing start. Ranger Suarez, I'm not going to talk about him because we spent a lot of time on him last week, but he did continue his amazing stretch, 25 consecutive scoreless innings. That is no joke. And the Phillies, they've had the best rotation in baseball. Go look at the numbers. And we talked a little bit yesterday about the back end guys. You know, Spencer Turnbull, who's a former Tiger, and Christopher Sanchez have both done their job remarkably well. Ranger Suarez has been incredibly consistent. Bryce Elder, I just do want to mention him in his first start of the year. We talked about who's going to step up, who's going to get that shot now that Spencer Strider is done for the year. He's the dude. He was an all-star at the beginning of last year, was not good, had an ERA over 5 in the second half, didn't pitch well in the postseason either, but 6 2/3 of scoreless ball last night against the Miami Marlins. Outstanding ground ball rate as well. That was great. But I'm going to go with Dylan Cease, who we made a big story about when he got traded late in spring training from Chicago to San Diego. By the way, talk about escaping from Alcatraz on that one. Good job, Cease. But he has been phenomenal. And last night, he made history. First pitcher in the history of Coors Field to throw at least 7 innings with no more than 1 hit allowed and 0 walks. And the reason that's so critical is because Dylan Cease has been a free pass machine in his career, twice leading the league in walks. If he's able to keep it around the zone, dude, you're talking about one of the best pitchers in baseball with his stuff.
Yeah, he's looked nasty. Every single one of his pitches so far has a positive run value right now. Four-seamer, which was not good for him last year. The slider is obviously playing because that's his bread and butter. But, you know, when he's on, he's got no-hit stuff every time you go out there.
Yeah, and he has he's given up no more than 2 earned runs in all of his Padres starts. And he's going to be a big reason why they stay in contention if they end up doing that, right? They needed somebody to replace starter innings this year, not just with Snell, but Waka and Lugo also walking out the door. And now with Darvish hurt, they need it to come from somewhere. And he's got the ability. Didn't he finish? Was it runner-up or was it third? I think it was runner-up a couple of years.
It was runner-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's got it. And remember, he's still pitching for that big contract. He has not received that extension. So he's only 28 years old. He's a dude. He can get it done.
Cy Young 2 in 2022. Also MVP 22. A lot of twos for Dylan Cease that year.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, guys, let's talk a little bit about what you're wearing out there. Most dudes, kind of like here, would love to wear a T-shirt every day of their lives if they could. The problem is most T-shirts are not acceptable to wear at work. Or let's say you got that hot date lined up. You don't want to just show up in some sloppy-looking T-shirt. Like, that's not good enough. Well, today's sponsor, Cuts, has finally changed that. Cuts T-shirts, they are high quality, they are wrinkle-free, they are buttery soft, that you can look like you're dressing up even when you're dressing down. And for a limited time, you can actually save money while redefining the dress code by heading to Cuts, that is C-U-T-S, clothing.com. Use that code word today, you're going to get 20% off. Ploof, didn't you wear one in Vegas over the weekend?
It's why I love the shirts, Chris. You can wear them anywhere. You can wear them to play tennis, to work out in. Also, a night out at Delilah amongst the stars. I had that thing tucked in with a nice corduroy crop jacket. I looked great. I'm not going to lie. I mean, look at the picture. The proof is in the pudding, baby. So, that's Cuts, true. If you want to send me more, go ahead. Because I didn't know you had it like that, Cuts. They're really nice.
Now, all of their clothing, it is super comfortable as athleisure wear, if you will, but fashionable enough to wear at work. There's a reason that Cuts Clothing is the trusted fashion brand of pro athletes, including a dude who hit 106 show homers. If you've ever watched your favorite basketball, football, or baseball team enter the arena, there's a good chance you've seen them sporting Cuts. In fact, we talked about the t-shirts. I'm wearing one of their collared shirts right now. Super comfortable. I wore it this weekend as well, right? We had Brady's senior prom, so I wanted to look nice for the pre-prom pictures. I wore these with the Cuts pants as well. Got them somewhere around here. Rose, you know, here's a nice
thing. Oh, yeah.
Rose's fat ass. I even looked slimming in these. So they do a great job. And once again, for a limited time, our listeners will get 20% off the entire order. Use that code word today at checkout. That's 20% off your order at cutsclothing.com with that promo code today. Please support our show. Tell them that we sent you. Experience the perfect blend of style and comfort with Cuts Clothing today. Speaking of Cuts, any chance that we can Cuts the Chicago White Sox and relegate them? They're working on it. They made history last night. First team to be shut out in 8 of their first 22 games. It was your Minnesota Twins who were getting healthy. Chicago is now 3-19. How worried are you they're actually going to threaten the 62 Mets for the most losses in a single season?
That's a loaded question. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to go that far. That's a lot of losses. 120 losses. I mean, look, I watched this team a couple times this year. Yesterday, I sat down and watched this entire game. They went up against Chris Paddock. The offense is on that team right now is it's kind of tough to watch. 30th in average on base, OPS, runs, homers, 27th in stolen bases. It just wasn't good, man. And you know what? There's just not a lot of urgency there because the guys on that team understand what's going on. And I try to tell people this all the time. I've been on some teams that were bad, not necessarily trying to win. I mean, I don't want to say that. We're always trying to win, but the organization as a whole, maybe not so much. I don't think the Chicago White Sox as an organization at the big league level, they're not really trying to win this year. It's been out there. These are rebuilding, retooling type years for them. So when you have that mentality, the talent level isn't there. You got some of your best talent on the IL. It's a bad look. It's a bad look. The pitching wasn't great yesterday.
Horrible. They are.
I know, but listen.
Sugarcoat this. This is unwatchable baseball.
It's very, very tough. Again, I didn't see a lot of like aggressive plays. There were some balls I thought maybe the infielder should have dove for yesterday. And here's the thing. People get mad at me when I say this all the time. But what do you – like, if you're trying to rebuild, what do you have to do? Sometimes you got to trade some of your guys, some of your stars, whatever a value you have. They have Luis Robert. They have Eloy Jimenez. I know they're under team-friendly contracts. And they're, you know, I think Lubob is through 2027 and Eloy is through 2026. And they're not doing well right now. One of them's on the IL. But I mean, I'm assuming they got to be entertaining offers for these guys as well. Because I don't think their window is going to come up within 3 years. Do you?
No.
So if they trade those guys, and those are really their only true offensive threats on the team, it could get really bad. Now, I don't know about 120 losses. That's crazy. But watching them, it's, I feel for White Sox fans this year.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the sport. And I know that the blueprint are the Houston Astros of the early.
Or the Orioles.
The Orioles and the Chicago Cubs. Like, those are teams which came out, basically said, we're ripping it up. But you know what those three teams had in common? If they sucked and were the worst team in the league, they were guaranteed to have the first pick in the draft or the second pick in the draft. That ain't it now, dude. My Cleveland Guardians have the first pick in the draft this year because there's a lottery. And so you're not. I don't know how it went so wrong here, right? 2 years ago, this was.
Trust me, I don't know.
Giolito was saying it the other day when we were just talking before we started our Rose rotation together. He's like, have you been watching what's going on in Chicago? I was like, yes, Lucas, I've been watching. And it's a tough one. It's an impossible watch. And I feel for the players, to be honest with you, a little bit. Like you said that they weren't giving it their all. That's troubling to me. Like, if you suck, you suck. But if you suck and you're not trying, then that's really, really a problem. But why in the world, if you were a White Sox fan, would you ever go to a game this year? Unless you just wanted to go sit there on a nice, let's say, Saturday afternoon when the weather gets great in Chicago.
That's it. It's summertime shy. That's it. You want to get outside. That's the only real reason. I don't know. Another great team is coming in town. You want to go see them maybe?
I guess. That's it. But that's sad. That's sad that this is a...
3-19, Chris, that means they've had music playing in their clubhouse after the game three times out of 22 games. You walk in and it's just, silence. And then, you got your manager getting thrown out last night. I think it was Sheets also got thrown out last night.
He's played well.
It's frustrating. Like, we're going to see more and more of that because it's just not fun showing up to the ballpark like that. And guess what, guys? Baseball is every day. There ain't no escaping it, Chris. Mm-hmm. It's coming for you.
I tried to see, they're hitting under 200 as a team. They've got, 11 or 12 homers in 22 games. It's brutal. This thing shocked me. There is only one team in the history of baseball in the modern era, so we're talking, 120-ish years, that has not had a player get 100 hits in a season. Think about that for a second. They are on pace to have zero 100-hit players. The only other team to have that happen was the 72 Mets, and they actually had a winning record. I think they won 83 games that year. Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's pretty incredible. But they had a bunch of injuries. They had some other stuff going on. They didn't have a 100-hit player. This team, in today's era, you can't have a 100-hit player? What the hell are we doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking right now, Fangraphs. They have six guys in the top 100 in prospects. Like, when are all those guys going to come up? Are they going to do it at the big league level? Like, not all six of those guys are going to be stars. I mean, I guess Baltimore's done that. All of those guys have come up and been good. So I guess I don't know that for sure. But statistically, like, most of those guys, I would say you can count on three, maybe four of them being, like, really good big leaguers.
If you're fortunate.
If you're fortunate, it's just a tough road ahead for them. I don't know where they go, Chris.
Yeah, and I don't want to sit here and shit on their franchise like once a week. We're not, but we are going to do some monthly check-ins. Like,
30th in ERA, 28th in WHIP, 24th in walks per nine, 30. I mean, dead last in hits per nine and homers per nine.
Yeah, and listen, Pedro Grifol is going to end up being the fall guy here, right? Chris Getz just got hired. So he's bringing in every former Kansas City Royal known to man. You know, it's brutal. It sucks. It's a bad watch, and it's terrible for your sport. Terrible for your sport. And you know why nobody's going to say anything? It's because Jerry's one of the old guards, one of the guys, that people still listen to, and that's the way that's going to roll. So I don't know what they're going to say. Good luck. A couple of hot bats out there. Darnell homers again, fifth time in his last eight at-bats. Holy smokes, are you kidding me? And Dalton Varsho, sixth in the last 10 games. You went on a streak like that. You told us about that last week where you had a month.
I had a big month and just basically gave me a career. Yes, so I'm happy for these guys. Although they have more, they're better than I was.
Come on now.
Travis Darnell's had a great career. Dalton Varsho can go get it in the outfield. Like, he's going to be playing no matter what, as long as he can continue the defensive stuff up. The offense is kind of a bonus, to be honest with you.
All right, well, let's talk about the biggest homer of the night. It happened in St. Louis.
Nolan Gorman, the first, and he unloads. Deep right, track, wall, walk-off winner on the first pitch.
That was a big W for the Cardinals. Goldie hit one that tied the game. They'd been down 3-0. Lance Lynn actually did a really good job limiting the damage because there were dudes dancing around base all night. And then Nolan Gorman, who hasn't done it, he ends up hitting the game winning 2-run homer and then slams the bat. That was all good stuff. With all this being said, they are still last place in the National League Central. Why isn't this team better?
I mean, the guys they're counting on for, to be leaders and, statistical leaders on their team just really haven't shown up yet. And it seems like, the days they do get pitching, they're not getting the offense. And when they do have offense, they're not getting the pitching. It hasn't really lined up for them at all. I still think it's there. We talked about all the time last year about what's the clubhouse like? What's that vibe like? It didn't seem like it was good. Last night watching that game, it seemed like all the boys were having a lot of fun, especially after Goldie hits the homer. You know, Lars is on the top step just having a great time. It looked like everyone is engaged. I like that aspect of it. That tells me that I think things will turn around, because I just can't see another season of, you know, a down offensive years for guys like Paul Goldschmidt. So I think it will turn around. But like I said, you know, those guys have not shown up. You know, Nolan Gorman, I think, was like 0 for 18 before he hit that homer or something like that. Here's a stat I found as I was researching this question. Besides, for one day since April 2nd of 2023, they've been under 500. And that was April 6th of this year. So a full calendar year of being under 500 for a St. Louis Cardinals team that just doesn't happen. So things have not gone right. But I think mainly this year, things haven't lined up. And obviously, we just haven't seen the offense necessarily come to life. And the pitching has been, it's been okay.
It's been good enough. It's been good enough to be significantly.
There's been some bad starts. Sonny Gray's looked great. But really, to me, it's, you know, you got to get the offense going. You can't put that much pressure on your defense and your pitching. You got to have, you know, games where you're going to take it over. And you know, a game like last night where you come from behind on a good Diamondbacks team, they're down 3-0 at one point. Uh-huh. Lars gets the knock, and then Goldschmidt ties the game, and then Gorman lefty-lefty. Uh-huh. Like, stuff like that matters to a clubhouse. And like I said, it looked like they were having a good time. I still believe in this Cardinals team, and I don't. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Goldie, Norman, Donovan, Walker, all with negative WAR at this point as well. They will pick it up. I expect them to. But then again, we said the same thing last year, and they never did. Now, the question we've had about this team over the last couple of years is the way it's constructed, because it felt like they've had too many everyday ball players and not enough at bats for these guys. I do think that if they're in this thing in July, and I don't see anybody in this division running away, there might be teams that are better than St. Louis, but I don't think anybody's going to run away. I think this is all on John Mozeliak. Like, you've extended Ali Marmol, right? After having the worst Cardinals season in three decades, y'all gave him an extension. So, I mean, you could get rid of him. It's fine. And it's in the grand scheme of things, I can't imagine they're paying Ali Marmol Craig Counsell money. So if you want to blame him, that's fine. But this is on you. This is on the roster construction. And if it's not perfect in July, make it better. Make it better. You went out and got veteran pitchers who know how to pitch down the stretch. Let's go. Let's do it. I don't quite understand exactly what's happening in St. Louis, but I expect them to make some trades at some point in July. And I don't know where Plouffe has gone, but he's blacked out on me. I don't know what's happened there. What did he forget? Did he forget to pay his internet bill? There he is. What happened? Where'd you go?
Hello?
Yeah, where'd you go?
I don't know. Is Dan messing around with my stuff? I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, we're all good now, technically. Are you all right? Is Jimmy,
I didn't go anywhere.
What's happening? Is Jimmy Clausen over there playing with the wires again?
What does that even mean?
Huh? It's Matthew Stafford.
What does that even mean? I don't even know what you're saying right now.
What's going on over there? My point is that John Mozeliak, let's go. Shape it up a little bit. Let's see. Here's why I'm wearing this for my new friend Ali Marmol, whom I got yelled at by Jim Hayes on X. Jim does a really nice job with the Cardinals, and he commented last week on our unfair comment about Ali Marmol. Yeah. What happened in Oakland? And he said he's an excellent guy, and here's what happened. And so it was nice that he cleared that up. I still didn't love the whole thing the way it went down, but we'll cut Ali a break and apologize to him. So Ali,
we did, yeah, we're giving him a chance. Okay,
we're giving him a chance. All right, last thing. Out in San Francisco, there were a lot of interesting sights. We had Club Camilo Duval doing the Duran entrance, which I loved. This was the debut of it at Oracle Park. It was freaking amazing. Look at the lights on that and the colors. They put the spotlight on him while he's running in from center field. That shit looked great. That was very cool. Then we had the Rogers twins warming up in the bullpen at the same time from different arms. That was kind of freaky. But
that was how awesome.
How about the therapy bunny that made an appearance? Okay, do we not test therapy bunnies anymore for PEDs? Have you ever seen something that size?
I'm so over the therapy bunny. I'm not about the therapy bunny at all. That thing is freaky. I would run the other way if I saw that thing.
Dude, that's not a therapy bunny. That's a freaking horse. Let's throw a saddle on that thing.
Oh, my God. It looks like something from Lord of the Rings. Yeah, basically.
Holy. All right, so which one really made you stand up and say, okay, that's interesting?
Well, the Rogers Bros freaked me out. Therapy bunny freaked me out. I'm all about that entrance for Doval. I've spoken about this many times in the program, Chris. I am all about production value, and the now that I'm out of the game and I watch baseball a lot, it's I want to be entertained. Like, stuff like this is entertaining. You go to the ballpark and you get something like this. Like, it's something you'd remember. Like, I need more of this. Mm-hmm. Now, I know we probably shouldn't do it for every single pitcher. I love it. I think every closer in the game should have something like
this.
And maybe even two guys in your bullpen get something like this, because you might have a situation where there's multiple closures. I don't know, but it's just awesome. When you're at the ballpark, and now with the LED lights, they can turn them on and turn them off quickly. You used to not be able to do that because we were different lights. You have the ability to entertain and produce stuff like this. You got to do it.
Yeah.
That's what gets people to the ballpark.
Right. I mean, it started with the trumpeting for Edwin Diaz. Well, I mean, way before that, obviously, Mariano Rivera and Trevor Hoffman coming in to their songs, which is great. Very cool. But I love the lights. I'm all in favor of that. I would like to see Cleveland do something with Class A, who's led the league in saves each of the last two seasons. Like, let's go. Let's think of something. You know, that's great.
The only thing is you don't get to warm up between innings. Everyone's like, can you just turn the lights back on so I can throw the ball around a little bit?
Really? Do we need to? Do we need to warm up?
You don't need to at all. That was sometimes I was like, just don't throw the fucking ball to me.
Exactly. Like, let the shortstop have three extras. That's fine. I'm fine. I don't have to throw it across the diamond. I do want to see somebody like, remember, who was it? Jose Valverde that used to spit the water when he would come out and do that. But I want to see flames coming out. I want to see full, like.
We can do shelter. It, Chris. That's what I'm talking about, man.
Yes. But, I mean, dudes have to learn how to breathe fire.
Oh, like the actual pitcher do it. Yes. I don't know about that. I mean, okay. Okay, I'm in.
Yes. Throw a little incentive into your contract.
Oh, man. You know.
All right. Fun-filled show. Good, entertaining stuff. Everybody's playing today. I love that. We're back at it tonight. Full 15 games. Super excited. And we will see you Wednesday. Live show at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. For our one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke, the uber-talented, fire-breathing dragon, Trevor Plouffe, I am Chris Rose. We will see you Wednesday here on Baseball Today.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.